Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Badia Desert. I welcome Patrick Tucker. He is the technology editor at Defense One, reporting on airstrikes in the Badia Desert against ISIS. That's right. ISIS is not only still organized as a threat to the region, transnational region in the deserts of Syria, but also it is growing, we have reason to believe, with its connections with the collapse of the Syrian regime. And following the news that Bashar al-Assad had fled Damascus for refuge in Moscow, CENTCOM, I understand, decided an airstrike, a massive airstrike, something that I don't think has been seen for some time, was necessary because of ISIS. Patrick, a very good evening to you. 75 ISIS-related targets. Was this a surprise to you, the scale of this? Good evening to you.
Good evening. This was quite a scale. It did surprise a lot of the press and some of the other folks that were attending the Reagan Security Forum out in Simi Valley this weekend. Using B-52s, F-15s, A-10s, and other Air Force assets, according to senior department officials and the White House. And the point is that in the Badia Desert, you had a situation where they were hittable. ISIS groups were coming together in a way that just basically made them very large targets. But also keep in mind that the collapse of the Assad regime has ramifications for Russia's footprint in the country. There are some air bases there. We don't know the status of them, but long term, the status is that Russia is going to be moving its assets and already has some out of the region. And so this allowed also for new opportunities for CENTCOM to strike these targets. Unironically, for a long time, as you remember, Russia and the United States were nominally involved in a counter-ISIS coalition, but in terms of practicality, the Russians were bombing places near the near Aleppo and near the southwestern portion of the country, while the United States focused on ISIS training and ISIS camps in the northeast. So they were deconflicted in part because they were actually shooting at different targets, the United States at ISIS, Russia at rebel groups. And now that that campaign is finished. So there's a lot of activity right now going on in Syria, not just the United States striking these targets. And there's an indication that they'll continue to strike ISIS targets, but also we're getting some reports of Israeli targeting of different weapons, places and storage and things like that. There's some tremendous concern that Turkey might make a move towards Kurdish rebels in the region, too.
And what is it that ISIS looks like in the Badia Desert? Are these tent cities? Are these villages where you can't discern whether it's ISIS or a local villager? Are these large gatherings? What does the target look like to your understanding?
Well, we know that this target was appropriate because of the size of the ISIS group that had converged there. And we don't know too much more about it. They're, of course, a very mobile organization and were not necessarily part of the rebel group that had descended on Damascus, led by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. But there are a few groups that are very active right now, including some that the United States had previously supported. So it's hard to say exactly what ISIS looks like. We do know where, at the very least, senior White House officials have said that they are nearly the organization that they were. They don't get along fantastically with Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. And that group, though it is on an extremist list as designated, they've in many ways separated ties with ISIS, which they had at a very early point. But now that seems to be different. So ISIS remains active, but it's not nearly what it was.
And you mentioned the Russians. It didn't occur to me until you seemed to point to that the Russians leaving the area in some fashion We don't know. It's incomplete, but heavy equipment is being moved out. Did Russia have air defense in that part of Syria? Is that why the U.S. fielded so much aircraft?
Well, the Russian job in Syria was the protection of Bashar al-Assad. And in terms of the actual things that they had, they had some naval things. We know that they had troops on the ground. I really can't say in terms of air defense, but certainly there was no air defense at play.
I see.
During these strikes. And that footprint is just going to grow smaller. We know that there's already rebels in some of the places where the Russians were, but not necessarily their bases.
And the B-52s, they came out of Qatar? Where?
Probably, but that's something also that hasn't been confirmed yet.
And these raids now, they've been watching the ISIS groups for some time, and they were vulnerable to Kataiba Hezbollah, I believe. That was what was so critical for the Biden administration early in the war, was that Tehran was using its Iraqi elements to strike. Does this airstrike make that area more secure now or less secure? In other words, I've had experience over the years, we both have, that when the bombs fall, things get worse.
Well, there's going to be continued U.S. activity there, probably. That's what the senior White House official said. Jake Sullivan, speaking on the sidelines of the conference in Simi Valley, said that the U.S. maintains a mission there in Syria, protecting personnel from threats, but also engaging groups to establish and help in whatever way they can as the new regime moves towards leadership and takes over, the governance of Syria. And they were very specific. The United States is not going to be in charge of determining what the political future of Syria looks like. They remain in active mission there, not just against ISIS, but there's also tremendous concern, of course, about Bashar al-Assad's stockpile of chemical weapons and how to deal with them. The 900 or so U.S. troops that are currently in Syria are probably not going to be deployed to take care of the chemical weapons. That's not exactly their mission set. The White House official said that, quote, there are other ways to get at those. So that might be a continued aerial campaign. But as long as there are ISIS targets, you can probably expect continued activity against them. And then there's also probably going to be some activity. And the White House has said they're working with regional players, regional partners on the chemical weapons, but there'll be some activity there as well.
And PKK, the Kurds, my understanding is that they're at odds with Ankara, with Erdogan. Do we protect the Kurds with airstrikes? Is this something that it's a warning to Syria, to Turkey, not to come looking for trouble? I'm trying to figure out this mix of different groups, because the PKK is assisting us, I believe, in watching ISIS. We've now bombed ISIS. Does that mean that the PKK is protected? Can we tell?
Well, I think that to the extent that the United States can, PKK can protect itself certainly from ISIS elements and other of those extremist groups in the region. And they have had a role to play, of course, opposing the Assad regime. There is a lot of concern about Turkey and what it might do now with the PKK. Any protection that the United States at this point is able to offer, and that's not something that they've offered publicly, it's an issue of tremendous concern, could change by the time you get to January 20th. Of course, Donald Trump very famously sort of abandoned the Kurds who were working with the United States, allowing Erdogan to take strike action against them. And it was a tremendously controversial move within the administration. It's part of the reason you saw Brett McGurk, who is today's remains White House envoy to the region. He's one of those few characters that played across multiple administrations because he was sort of the only guy anyone could think to do it. And of course, James Mattis famously walked out of the White House after what he described as a betrayal of our Kurdish partners in the region, allowing Turkey to strike them. And these Kurdish partners, of course, were working very closely with the United States. So you had a situation where you had a very close U.S. ally being targeted by a NATO ally. So that is probably one of the more important moments of the Trump administration 1.0's foreign policy was that abandonment. Now, whether or not that means a continuation of that after January 20th, it's hard to see. But at the same time, you know, this is just a lot of things that are in play. Donald Trump famously this weekend went on Truth Social and said that the United States should not be involved. But that was before Bashar al-Assad's regime fell. And so there's now a whole different set of situations where the United States is going to have to re-ask itself and the Trump administration specifically how to be involved, to what extent or not.
And Patrick, final 30 seconds. Do we have any indication that these airstrikes will continue, or was this a one-off? Do we know?
I think that they'll probably continue so long as there's targets. The counter-ISIS mission remains pretty core. It's something that the Trump administration, the previous version of it, had under James Mattis, frankly, had tremendous success with. They were able to decimate the size of ISIS and have a real impact there. So that seems like a likely continuation across the administration. And this group remains active, smaller than it was, but very vulnerable to U.S. strikes at very little cost compared to especially human cost. And as long as you have 900 U.S. troops in the region for however long that they're there, that's part of a protection, a force protection mission involving them as well.
Patrick Tucker, technology editor at Defense One.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.